Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday again, because I was here this morning, although not all of you could hear me. I'm very happy to see all of you all again. It's wonderful to see you. This morning I talked about my new Facebook page, but I just want to mention again, as I scan the list of people, I think that most of you have gone and liked the new page. But if someone finds out that you've been unfriended from my old page, that is because what I did was I reduced it. Gosh, I had 3,340 something friends, and I reduced it down to, I don't know how many I have now, like about 100 and something friends. I reduced it down to people that I know really well on a personal basis, a family, and then just a few teachers whose pages I want to see show up on my home. I want to read their pages. So I made it very, very small, my old Facebook page, and the only thing I'm going to post there from now on is stuff that I like want to share with my mom and my aunts, just that kind of stuff. It's a place to chat with them. And I created a new Facebook page for spirituality and for all of my spiritual friends. The new Facebook page, if you just go look in Facebook for Regina Dawn Akers, it'll show up. Regina Dawn Akers, it's called Thoughts, Regina Dawn Akers Thoughts and Teachings, but it'll show up if you just type in Regina Dawn Akers. Or if you want to have the address, it's www.facebook.com/RDA today. And if you go and like and follow that page, that's where I'm going to be interacting with all of y'all from now on. What I did was, as I was, quote, unfriending, I was kind of sorry that that's the word that Facebook uses, because for me it wasn't really unfriending everyone as much as moving. I was moving from one place to another place, and I wanted to take everyone with me. So what I did as I quote unfriended you was I also sent you invitations. Hopefully everybody got their invitations, invitations to the new page, and sometimes I even was checking to make sure when I could that you signed up on the new page before I unfriended you from the old page. So I tried to do it in a very, very thoughtful way, because it really wasn't my intention to unfriend anyone, to lose anyone in the process, not anyone that I knew. I got to be honest, I didn't want to take all 3,340 people with me. A lot of those people I didn't really know. I've just been saying yes to whoever has been asking me to be their friend for years. So there are all these people that I didn't know at all. I didn't really want all of them to go with me. But all of the people that I know in any way, I wanted all of you to go with me to the new site. So I perceived it as a move. And so I would try to be very, very careful. And I think I did a pretty good job of getting in touch with at least most of you, because now there's over 400 people over there. But if any of you missed your invitation, please come and join me at the new page, because that was my intention, was to still be joined with all of you all, just be joined with you in a different place. So again, just look for Regina Dawn Akers, and it will show up as Regina Dawn Akers Thoughts and Teachings. Or go to www.facebook.com/RDA today. And that's where you'll find me in Facebook now. And what I'm doing now that I've moved over there and got over 400 friends over there with me, now I'm uploading as many pictures as I can find of you guys. I uploaded, I don't know how many today, 16 to 19 today. I have several waiting. You know, I'll upload, you know, a couple handfuls every day, so that we can enjoy them as they go up. But there's lots of fun pictures that I have of you, and I want to put them all on the new page too. So I'll probably start adding pictures of retreats that we've been to together and trips that we've been to together. So I'm just kind of bringing everything over there. So it's a lot of fun. Takes a little bit of time, but to be honest, it's a lot of fun. Even as crazy as it sounds, even unfriending everyone was fun. Not because I like the idea of unfriending, but because as I did it, I looked at each and every person. I touched all 3,340 some people. And that was even quite fun. Even though I was doing it by myself, I was interacting with each and every one of you all during the move. It took 2.5 days, almost a solid work to do that, but it was so fun just interacting with each and every one of you, seeing your faces and sending you an invite. And yeah, so what I want to do now is play a song that I received in email this morning. A friend sent it to me this morning. It's a lovely song. It's a Christmas song. It's a song you've probably heard before, Mary Did You Know? But this is a new rendition. I don't know if I know how to say the name of the band. It's like Pentatonix or something like that. P-E-N-T-A-T-O-N-I-X. Pentatonix. And the song is Mary Did You Know? So let's have a listen. It's coming.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod?
When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God.
That's beautiful, huh? And I love that line that comes near the end of the song about, did you know that the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? And, you know, even though this is a song that's written, you know, about Mary and Jesus, whenever I hear the song, I realize that's true of, you know, every single child. And, of course, every one of us is a child. We may have grown up, but we're still a child, someone's child. And, you know, so we can look at every one of us. We can look at every single face that our eyes lands on and says, wow, that's the great I Am. Yeah, chills. Lori, I agree with you. I got chills too. Yeah, the great I am. Every one of us. That's a beautiful, beautiful song, and I love that rendition, and I appreciate that I got it. Yeah, Barb is saying the YouTube is beautiful, so yeah, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and play that song. Again, that's Mary, Did You Know by Pentonix, Pentatonix. And so, hi, Clara. Welcome to the room. I hope that you heard about the new webpage. It's hard for me to keep track of who all has moved, but I'm hoping that all of my friends have moved with me to the new webpage. And, Clara, if you haven't joined the new webpage yet, then just go look for Regina Dawn Akers in Facebook, and you'll find it, okay? And I'd love to have you there with me. In fact, I'm in the process of posting pictures that I have. Any pictures that I have of us. I don't have pictures of all of us. For example, Dolores is here. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Dolores in person yet, so I don't have a picture of her. Alex is here. I met Alex briefly, but we didn't have any pictures taken. So I don't have pictures of everyone. I don't have a picture of Ron, but I have pictures of many of you. And I'm trying to find all of those pictures and load up pictures of everyone on that new Facebook page. So hopefully y'all will come. And Claire, I picked out a picture of you just a little bit ago. So please join us. All right. We are here for 7 Steps to Awakening. And we're going to be beginning tonight with 608. So what I'm going to do right now is put a link. Hopefully my pace is working this week. Woohoo! It is. There is a link to 608A in my journal, so you can read along in the journal if you want to. Oh, Monica, I picked out a picture of you too just a little bit ago. Francine, your picture's already posted. You probably saw it. All right. Let me take a drink of water and then we'll get started. Okay, so the quote that I'm going to be reading is from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, and the quote is very short. It is this: "The person is but a shell imprisoning you. Break the shell." That's the quote. Yeah. "The person is but a shell imprisoning you. Break the shell." So why don't we go ahead and see what I have in the journal. Because there's an A after it, it means I spent a lot of time contemplating this little quote and came up with a lot of clarity. So let's look at the first bit of clarity that I got with number 608, and that's 608A, which Lynn has put the link in the room again. "I am a person" is the key idea that lets all "I am specific" thoughts arise. Now, if you're not looking at this, it may sound a little strange when I'm reading it. "I am a person" is in quotes, and "I am specific" is in quotes. So let me read that again. "I am a person" is the key idea that lets all "I am specific" thoughts arise. "I am specific" thoughts are limiting. "I am specific" thoughts differentiate. "I am specific" thoughts are the cause of all war. "I am specific" thoughts include "I am this culture." "I am this opinion." "I have this need. I must be satisfied." I don't know if you all are looking at that with me, and I don't know if it's the same just listening as actually looking at the words. But when I look at the words, I can see how these ideas cause all war. And I'm sure that this is not a complete list of the types of thoughts that are "I am specific" thoughts. There's only 4 things here. But if you look at just these 4 ideas, that are included in the I Am Specific thought category. You can tell that it's the cause of all war, whether it's the war between a husband and a wife or the war between two nations. Listen to this last part of the journal entry again. I Am Specific thoughts include, I am this culture, I am this opinion, I have this need, I must be satisfied. Yeah, and Danza says it also causes the war between my ears. Yeah. You know, the last two alone, you know, I'm just kind of stuck with those ideas because I know the energy of those ideas. I have not transcended that yet, at least not fully. I would say that I've transcended it somewhat, but by far not fully. I still have that feeling sometimes of, I have this need and I must be satisfied. How many of you, although you don't need to really raise your hands, you don't need to click on the button, but kind of just raise your hand with yourself, how many of you know the energy of that? I have this need and I must be satisfied. And hasn't that caused a war between you and someone? The one that you perceived as in the way of satisfying, in the way of the satisfaction of that need. So if we look at these thoughts, we can see how these I Am Specific thoughts are the cause of all war. Yeah, Roy is saying war in the world reflects war in the mind. You know, Michael Jackson, in his song about if you want to change the world, right, he would say, you need to start with the man in the mirror. You guys remember that song? Start with the man in the mirror. And many of us would say that we would love a world with no war. Do you all agree with that? Wouldn't a world with no war be nice? If what Roy is saying is true, war in the world reflects war in the mind, and if what Michael Jackson says is true, that we have to start with the man in the mirror, then what that really means is that we need to let go of the war in our mind, right? To continue to have war in my mind, continue to fight with the people that I live with. And to expect there to be peace on earth is a little crazy. If there can't even be peace in me, peace in my house, why would I think there's going to be peace on earth? So as I look at this journal entry, what I realize is I need to be quietly, patiently, non-judgmentally looking at myself to see when I have thoughts that say, I am this culture, right? When am I identifying myself as black or white or Asian or Egyptian or A Course in Miracles student or, a Christian or a Hindu or, you know, any type of culture, whether it's a racial culture, a national or ethnic culture, a religious culture. Every identification with a culture, with a group, saying I am that, is a part of the thought system that causes war. And we see this even in Facebook. You know, Facebook, you know, is such a wonderful telltale sign. We see this in Facebook. We see, you know, the war, even between course students that have different interpretations of the course, right? Just today I saw a little something, about, you know, the debate of whether Jesus is real, the real voice of the Course, or whether Jesus is just a symbol and the voice of the Course used that symbol. You know, we can draw a dividing line right there, and we can each choose our side, and we can have a war. But is that really what the Course is about? Is that what the Course asks us to do, is to have an opinion, draw, pick our side, draw a line, and have a war? I don't remember the exact details of the story, but I remember there is a story about two people who went to Bill Thetford because they had a disagreement on an interpretation, and they thought that Bill Thetford would settle it for them. They thought that Bill Thetford would take one side or the other and tell them which one of them was right and which one of them was wrong. You guys know the story? And so when they went to Bill Thetford with their debate and asked him to resolve it, his answer was something like, you know, Jesus would rather you tear that page out of the Course than have a disagreement about it. Right? Just tear that. If you guys can't agree about what that page means, just tear that page out of the Course. See, there's no taking sides there. We can miss the point, can't we? Lynn Johnson and I spent a lot of time together for a couple of days looking at retreat centers. And when she and I were coming back, we got into discussions about, you know, what we feel different truth teachings mean. And Lynn and I did not agree on everything. But what was wonderful about it, at least from my perception, is I did not feel that Lynn and I debated a single point. In fact, what I told Lynn was, I felt it was perfectly fine that we didn't agree, that I was just getting to know her perspective better. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's the way we always were? Oh, that's what you think it means. Oh, well, this is what I think it means. There, now we know each other better. Now I understand where you're coming from better, and you understand where I'm coming from better. But we don't need to debate this. We don't need to prove one right, prove one wrong. In fact, even the awakening together core values are aligned with allowing each of us to understand truth teachings in the way that we do, respecting one another, and supporting one another, even if our interpretation of the same truth teaching is a little different. Our first core value says, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. And then listen to the second line. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So see, I can support Lynn, even if she sees it a little differently. And hopefully she can support me, even if I see it differently than she does. And we can be friends, and we can love one another, and we can enjoy one another. There's nothing to separate us in that. Our second core value, we realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. If none of us has a spiritual intuition that is the authority over another's spiritual intuition, then who am I to say that I am right and you are wrong? Wouldn't that be saying that my spiritual intuition was the authority? You see, this all comes from the I am specific thought system. This is the identification with culture, or the identification with opinion, which is the second thing in that list. I am specific thoughts include, I am this culture, I am this opinion. And then I have this need. Maybe my need is that you agree with me. I have this need. I need you to see that I'm right about this interpretation. You see, that's my need. And then the fourth thing, I must be satisfied even if it means cutting you off as my friend. I cannot be your friend because you do not see that I am right and I have this need. You see how it's the cause of all war, even among us, who say that we're all aligned in one purpose. It doesn't really make sense, does it? Why do we have this need to be right? Why do we have this need for everyone to agree with us? I think it's perfectly fine, if one person comes into this room, takes the mic during her teaching hour or half hour, and teaches that Jesus is just a symbol. And perfectly fine if in the very next hour or half hour, someone else takes the mic and teaches that Jesus is real. And I think it's perfectly fine for all of us to listen to both of them, check with our own intuition, and get to wherever we get with our own inner intuition. I don't think there's anywhere in our core values that says we have to agree. It does say in our core values we need to listen to one another, respect one another, support one another on each one's individual path of awakening. And there's no war in that, as far as I can tell. So again, 608A says, I am a person is the key idea that lets all I am specific thoughts arise. I am specific thoughts are limiting. I am specific thoughts differentiate. I am specific thoughts are the cause of all war. I am specific thoughts include, I am this culture, I am this opinion, I have this need, I must be satisfied. And again, we're looking at a quote by Nisargadatta Maharaj that says, the person is but a shell imprisoning you. Break the shell, right? Break the shell. So if I'm going to break that shell, I'm going to watch for my own I am this culture thought. And when I see it, I'm going to let it go. And let it go means watch it without believing it, without acting from it. I'm going to watch for my opinions. And watching for your opinions can be difficult because to a point we don't notice our opinions in a lot of cases. But you know when you do notice your opinion is when someone else disagrees. And so if I state, Jesus is just a symbol. Right? Jesus was a symbol of the awakened voice. It came to Helen as Jesus because that's a voice she would trust. That's a voice she would listen to. And then someone says, oh no, Jesus is a very real entity. And it was most definitely him that spoke to her. What that does is that gives me the opportunity to look at my mind and say, huh, look at this. I don't want to cling to that thought that Jesus is a symbol. Instead, I want to just let it be. I want to step back into the observer role. Be aware of it, watch it, but don't cling to it. Let it be. And then let it be replaced with spaciousness or emptiness. Right? Like A Course in Miracles, Lesson 189, Paragraph 7. I think we talked about that last Sunday night. We are asked to let go of every thought that we think is either true or false. If we let go of every thought that we think is either true or false, aren't we left with space, with just spaciousness, emptiness, so that wisdom can then fill the space, but we are holding no opinion? So again, if I want to break the shell The person is but a shell imprisoning you. Break the shell. I want to watch my mind, for I am this culture. I am this opinion. I have this need. Something else to watch for, and I must be satisfied. For me, that's a definite energy. I can feel that. When I feel like I have a need and I must be satisfied, there's an energy. I don't know what word to put on it, but maybe some of you all have felt it too. So you know that whenever that energy arises, that I have this need, I must be satisfied energy, that's a great time to step back and just watch it. Hands off. No attachment. No desired outcome. Breathe and watch. Let it move on. Let it be replaced with emptiness. Ron is writing, it matters not whether he, meaning Jesus, is a symbol or historical person. We can focus on the teachings accredited to Jesus. Those are of love, compassion, etc. Those of a mystic. Beautiful, Ron. Beautiful. That's the way to go right there. It's not important whether he's a symbol or historical person. It's not important whether this is just a voice of awakening as Jesus or Jesus a specific entity. Let's focus on the teachings. Let's live the teachings. I remember when I was writing NTI, I got a couple of emails because, you know, NTI was being posted on the Peace of God Yahoo group as it was being written. And a couple of people somehow came across it that really weren't Course in Miracles students or anything similar. They were just regular fundamental Christians. And they were very sweet in that they wrote to me. You know, this happened a couple of times. Neither one of them knew each other, but they each wrote to me out of what I would call legitimate concern. They weren't attacking in their tone at all, but they wrote and they tried to warn me that I was listening to Satan and thinking it was the Holy Spirit. And I appreciated their concern. And there was even a fear thought that arose at that point. You know, what if they're right? What if, I mean, after all, this was the Holy Bible that was being reinterpreted through me. What if they're right? And when I looked at it, and I looked at the love in NTI, I thought, if this is Satan, then Satan is love. You see, it doesn't matter whether it's the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Satan. Those are words. Is it love? We know love when we see it. Then why don't we just practice it? Why don't we just believe it? Why don't we just live it? So I wrote back to them and I told them, thank you for their concern, but to me it was love. And I wasn't going to be concerned about where it came from. I was just going to live it. So one more time, I am a person is the key idea that lets all I am specific thoughts arise. I am specific thoughts are limiting. I am specific thoughts differentiate. I am specific thoughts are the cause of all war. I am specific thoughts include, I am this culture. I am this opinion. I have this need. I must be satisfied. So now I'm going to move to 608B, which if you're in the journal with me, you just scroll down underneath the comment and reply area and click on 608B. Again, the quote that we're looking at by Nisargadatta is, the person is but a shell imprisoning you. Break the shell. All right, so this is what I wrote after contemplating that a little further. One cannot be free when one is limited by the thoughts and beliefs of I am specific. Without I am specific, there is no culture, no opinion, no needs, and nothing to be satisfied. Without I am specific, there is only open, unlimited bliss, freedom, happiness. So you see, this is why we want to let go of our opinions, our interpretation of what a certain line in A Course in Miracles means. You know, another thing that I've seen showing up on Facebook lately is the world is real, the world is not real discussion. What if we just say, I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that the practice is to be focused inward instead of on the world, so I can do that either way. You know? One thing I know you've heard me say a lot, I remember saying it last week and the week before, is that it doesn't take belief to be engaged in spiritual practice. We just have to choose to be engaged in the spiritual practice. So, if we let go of all of our beliefs, all of our opinions, and then just follow the spiritual practice, maybe that awakening would be a lot more rapid than we even can imagine. As I mentioned this morning, Nisargadatta said he believed his guru. He did what his guru asked, which in his case was to be focused on the I Am Presence and let go of everything else. And he said he awoke within 3 years. And again, if you've read Nisargadatta, he speaks from an incredible voice of awakening. And in fact, if you know anything about Nisargadatta, Nisargadatta was an uneducated peasant. He either didn't go to school at all or only a few years of elementary school, I don't remember. But if he went to school at all, he was taken out at a very, very young age, and he worked in the fields to help support his family. He was an uneducated peasant. And when he got older and he wanted to get married, he ended up selling cigarettes on the street. Completely uneducated. And if you ever read Nisargadatta, the wisdom is out of this world. How does one go from being a completely uneducated peasant to the volumes and volumes of wisdom that poured out of him? I say it was a true awakening. And how did he get to that true awakening? He didn't worry about scripture. He didn't even read scripture, as far as I know. He certainly was not worried about the interpretation of scripture. He just did what his teacher asked him to. He focused on the I Am Presence. And he awoke. You see, spiritual practice doesn't require belief. I really feel that the purpose of spiritual teachings, like A Course in Miracles and NTI and the many others, are to bring us to the point where we finally have the willingness to live the practice. That's their only real purpose. They aren't there to educate us. They aren't there to teach us. We don't need to learn anything. Nisargadatta Maharaj is who I'm speaking of, and I didn't say who his teacher was. I don't remember. If anybody knows who his teacher is, please type it in the room. Somebody might even be able to run and look it up real quick. But we don't need to learn metaphysics. Oh no, Papaji was not Nisargadatta's teacher. But thank you, Dove. Papaji was a disciple of Ramana Maharshi. Nisargadatta was up north, and Ramana and his people were down south. All right. Let me just read this journal entry again. One cannot be free when one is limited by the thoughts and beliefs of I Am Specific. Without I Am Specific, there is no culture, no opinion, no needs, and nothing to be satisfied. Without I Am Specific, there is only open, unlimited bliss, freedom, happiness. So I'm going to move on to number 609 now. Again, if you're in the journal, you can just scroll down underneath comment and reply and click on 609. I'm going to read the quote. This is, again, a Nisargadatta Maharaj quote. The reward of self-knowledge is freedom from the personal self. And so by self-knowledge, of course, he's referring to the true self. And by knowledge, he's not referring to intellectual knowledge that we get from reading a book like A Course in Miracles. He's referring to that direct experience of knowing who I am. Right? The reward of self-knowledge is freedom from the personal self. Gosh, we talked about this morning in the gathering as well, remember? Although the sound wasn't very good, I know. But we talked about the fact that, you know, the Course says we have a split mind. And really, one part of that split is what Michael Langford would call the imposter self. And what Nisargadatta here is calling the personal self. But I love the word imposter because that means it's not the truth about who I am, right? It's an imposter self. And then the other part of that split is what Inner Ramana was calling this morning the awakened one. Already there, already in us, right? The true self, the awakened one. So we have within us the awakened one and the imposter self. One is who we are and one is not. We are the awakened one. Although we often believe we're the imposter self, and we act from that. Oh, here we go. Thank you, Barb. Barb went and looked up who Nisargadatta's guru was. I am going to try to say this. Oh, my gosh, very slowly. Are you ready? Nisargadatta, Maharaj's guru, or the closest thing to it, because I believe he only met the man once. So, yeah, he only met the man once. The man told him what to do, and he did it. In fact, the man died shortly after that, so he only met the man once, if I remember correctly. Nisargadatta Maharaj's guru, or the closest thing to it, was Siddhar Rameshwar Maharaj. Siddhar Rameshwar Maharaj. Yeah, that's a fun name to say. Siddhar Rameshwar Maharaj. I like that one. I could sit here and say that about 10 times until I get it. Siddhar Rameshwar. It's kind of fun to say. Try it. You're by yourself. Nobody can hear you. Say it. It's kind of Danielle's doing it. She's yelling it from the bedroom. It's fun. It makes the mouth, at least it's fun for my mouth. It's fun. Siddhar Rameshwar Maharaj. Did you have fun, Danielle? Yeah. Yeah, she liked it. Siddhar Rameshwar Maharaj. Okay, Barb says they were associated for about 2.5 years, so I was wrong about them meeting only once. See, I read this story like one time, and I do have a poor memory, so I can get little details mixed up. But again, 609, the reward of self-knowledge is freedom from personal self. So when I know the awakened one is what I am, right? When I know that, then I can no longer believe I'm the imposter. So reward of self-knowledge, knowing who I am, is freedom from the personal self, from being confused into thinking I'm the imposter. Right? So let's go look at the journal. The journal for number 609 says, without I am specific, there is no stickiness for thoughts to stick to. Therefore, there is no frame of reference for unhappiness. How does one let go of I am specific? Replace thinking of oneself with being present in the heart. No ideas and no effects of ideas. Simply peaceful, restful, trusting presence now. Wow, I like number 609. I'd like to, even though I wrote this, I'd like to spend more time with this. I feel this would be useful to me. Without I am specific, there is no stickiness for thoughts to stick to. So let's look at that line. So let's imagine that I am someone who identifies myself as a Course in Miracles student. I am a Course in Miracles student. The reason that I believe I am a Course in Miracles student is because I believe I'm something specific, and I'm specific and I'm differentiated. I am a Course in Miracles student, which differentiates me from my mother, who is a Southern Baptist. You see? So if I have the belief that I am something specific, then ideas of identity stick because they help confirm and define the something specific that I am. I am a Course in Miracles student. But if I do not believe, if I do not have that belief that I am something specific, then I can read the Course if I feel called to read the Course. I can embrace from the Course that which I feel called to embrace. But because I do not see myself as anything specific, I am just this awareness, reading and embracing. I do not need to take the next step and identify myself as a Course student. So the idea that I am something specific makes other ideas of identification stick, makes me Velcro, and ideas stick to me. But if I let go of the I am specific belief, I'd be the general awareness that we've been talking about for the past several Sundays. Then there's nothing, there's no Velcro. There's nothing for a thought of identity to stick to. So without I am specific, there is no stickiness for thoughts to stick to. Now let's look at the second line. Therefore, there is no frame of reference for unhappiness. You see, in order to be unhappy, I need to have an ideal that is not satisfied. So the ideal is, if I am a Course in Miracles student, the ideal then becomes that the Course is truth. Right? And I want to be right about that. The Course is truth, and I want to be right about that because that is now a part of my personal identification. And then somebody comes along and says, well, but you know, the Course seems to imply, or at least some teachers of the Course says that it implies, that a healed mind would also have a healed body. And that if the body is not healed, it means the mind isn't. But you know, you got to look at this teacher here, this Nisargadatta Maharaj. Look how clear he is. Here, read this book. Don't you agree that he's clear? Well, he died of cancer. So maybe the Course is wrong. Maybe the Course wasn't perfectly scribed. Maybe Helen had some ideas in her mind already, and those ideas got written into the Course. Well, shit, now I identify myself as a Course student. That means the Course has to be truth. And now I'm faced with something that is a challenge for me. Maybe I'm angry. Maybe I'm fearful. Maybe I need to defend. Maybe I need to close off communication with this other person who has a different point of view. But there's some unhappiness. There's some type of unhappiness because my belief system has been threatened. Right? But if I had no I am specific idea, I had no identification, I had no opinions, can you imagine? Can you imagine for a moment, you have no I am specific, you have no identification, you have no opinions about what is right or wrong or true or false. You are the living embodiment of A Course in Miracles, Lesson 189, Paragraph 7. You have no ideas about what God is. You have no ideas about what you are. You have no ideas about what is true or false, about what is good or bad. You carry around no ideas that you've ever learned from anywhere. And then someone says, look at this Maharaj guy. He was definitely awakened. He died of cancer. You go, oh, wow. And it's empty. It doesn't stick anywhere. It doesn't hit anywhere. It passes on through. And then there's another moment. You see how this works? You are the space. The space itself. The statement made by this other person doesn't hit up against anything. It can in no way cause unhappiness. It can in no way change the freedom, blissful, happy beingness that you are. So again, without I am spiff, well, sorry, my mouth is not working so well at this moment. Without I am specific, there is no stickiness for thoughts to stick to. Therefore, there is no frame of reference for unhappiness. None. No frame of reference for unhappiness. People can say whatever they say, and because there's nothing in me for it to hit up against, it causes no change in me. There is no frame of reference for unhappiness. If I believe, if I'm a Nisargadatta student and I believe you can have a perfectly healed mind and still get sick because my blessed guru did, and then someone comes along with A Course in Miracles and says that's not true, according to the Course, a healed mind and a healed body go together, see, I'm still threatened. I still have unhappiness because I have an identification with my guru, and he's right, and he died of cancer. But if I do not have an identification with the Course in Miracles, and I do not have an identification with my blessed guru Nisargadatta, then one person can say to me, a healed mind has a healed body. The sentence passes right through the space that I am. And the next person can say to me, a healed mind does not necessarily mean a healed body. It equally passes through the space that I am. Neither sentence hits up against anything because there is nothing identified in me. Without I am specific, there is no stickiness for thoughts to stick to. Therefore, there is no frame of reference for unhappiness. Now that we know that, the question becomes, how does one let go of I am specific? The answer is, replace thinking of oneself with being present in the heart. Barb is saying this reminds her of Michael Singer's teaching. And yeah, in the MPP course for Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul, and also the MPP course for NTI, there are exercises where throughout the day, the MPP participants watch their thinking. They notice their thinking, in many cases, probably more than they ever have before. And one of the things that we might notice, and in fact, we also do this in the Ramana Maharshi MPP course, one of the things we might notice is how much we think about I, me. How much of my thinking during the day is about I, me. And if you spend time noticing this, and often what we ask people to do in MPP is to write these thoughts down. You know, carry a little notebook around with you, and when you catch yourself thinking, write down what you were thinking. And so you're writing them down all day, and you go back at the end of the day, and you look, and you go, oh my God, look at all of these thoughts about I, me. Like I'm walking around thinking about I, me all day long. I have a million different stories, but they're all about I, me. What so-and-so thinks about I, me. How I, me, can get that thing that I need. How I, me, can get people to see things my way. How I, it's all I, me. Well, 609 in the journal is saying replace that I, me thinking with just being present in the heart. You know, and there are two ways that come to mind how to do that. One is the teaching that Nisargadatta's guru Siddhar Rameshwar Maharaj gave to him, and that is focusing on the I Am Presence. When we focus on the I Am Presence, we are being present in the heart. It's the same thing. Or another way, if we need more of a bridge, is the teaching of Inner Ramana, right? The teaching of Inner Ramana is to say a mantra, I am that I am, and then to rest in the stillness that follows the mantra. That is a training tool to help us be present in the heart. And so what this is saying is whenever I notice that I'm thinking about I and me again, take a breath and move to the heart. I don't resolve the thinking. I don't come to the conclusion. I just shift to the heart. How does one let go of I am specific? Replace thinking of oneself with being present in the heart. No ideas and no effects of ideas. Again, like I said, you don't have to resolve the story. You know, the story might be, what am I going to say to so-and-so to get him to see that I'm right about the course and he's wrong? You know, maybe I'll say this, maybe I'll say that, maybe I'll point out this line, let me look that up. And then I realize I'm doing all of that thinking, and I drop it like a hot potato. I don't even need to resolve it, I don't need to finish it, I don't need to come to a conclusion. I just go to the heart. Replace thinking of oneself with being present in the heart. No ideas, no effects of ideas. Simply peaceful, restful, trusting presence now. So Nisargadatta said, the reward of self-knowledge is freedom from the personal self. In other words, the reward of knowing who you are is that you no longer believe you are the specific person, the imposter self. But as I contemplated that, what I came up with was the practice that moves one to that reward of self-knowledge. Again, 609 says, without I am specific, there is no stickiness for thoughts to stick to. Therefore, there is no frame of reference for unhappiness. How does one let go of I am specific? Replace thinking of oneself with being present in the heart. No ideas and no effects of ideas. Simply peaceful, restful, trusting presence. Now. So we have about a minute and a half left. And I'm not going to start another one. What I'll do is I'll just play a real short Christmas song. The shortest song I have is actually a Hanukkah song. So I will play a real short Hanukkah song. Here we go.
Oh, Hanukkah, oh, Hanukkah, the light and the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance a horror. Gather round the table, we'll give you a drink. Sip all the meat to play with the last guest to eat. While we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night they share a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night they share a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all get the horror. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Sip all the nits you play with the last kiss you eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night they share a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
All right, that's it, you guys. Ending with a little bit of a dance. Time for me to let go of the mic, and so I will do that. Y'all have a wonderful couple hours. I'll be back in 2 hours with the daily quote. Please come and join me. Bye.